This is Savvy Saturdays with Renee Ribello on News Talk 610 CKTB.
Welcome back to our show. We've been talking with Kevin Bretner of Cressy Real Estate. Kevin, we've been talking about pros and cons of real estate investing, the tax benefits of these investments, and how to get started. Remember, anytime during the show, you can call in or you can text us with any questions or comments that you might have regarding your experience with the investment world on real estate. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
Well, we had a quick, wonderful conversation on that short break. It was enlightening.
Yeah, you know.
We were talking about some clients that you've had and some scenarios. And I was like, share that on air.
You know what? It's you don't know what you don't know. And a lot of people. So we were talking about pre-construction investing. And through all of the pre-construction build and the boom back years ago when people were buying and then selling on assignment and making all that money without ever getting a mortgage, that craziness of appreciation is gone now, but there is still some good money to be made there. But you need to know what you're doing and how you're doing it. Because a mortgage broker that I work with who bought pre-construction years ago didn't claim, as I'm going back now in time a little bit, but he was a mortgage broker. He didn't know that he could get his HST back from his build as an investor. He believed that once he paid the HST, it was just gone, but he was still happy with his investment and the amount he was going to make. He knew that his friend had done something similar and bought something and assumed the HST had to be paid because even his lawyer told him that he had to pay the HST, which is very true. When you buy pre-construction, whether it's a townhouse, a condo, a detached house, anything like that, when you buy from a builder in a pre-construction purchase, HST is present. If you're moving in as an end user, the builder pays the HST for you. As an investor, you have to pay the HST. So you pay the HST on closing through your lawyer, through disbursements. But what people don't realize is all that money can come back to you. That's thousands of dollars. In 2016, we did a study. The Canadian government made $6.2 million off unclaimed HST through pre-construction purchases. That's a lot of money that people left on the table out there. Mm-hmm. Anyways, there's a gentleman that I've sent many clients to named Mark Purdy of HST rebates and delayed closings through pre-construction that has helped out many of my clients. And I mentioned his name to Renee as well, and I think she's going to reach out to him.
I do. I had a pre-construction. I moved from one little town to another little town in Niagara, and yeah, it was a good. My intention was just to downsize and just get from the other house I was in that was fairly large, four level back split, into just a townhouse. Kids were never home. You know, why wouldn't I? So, and I was moving on the lake in Grimsby, and yeah, I did not go after my HST at all. I had no idea. And I'm a financial planner.
Again, we don't know what we don't know, right? Yeah. So it's about figuring everything out.
Well, my builder said, no, we take the HST. You're fine. And I was like, oh. And then I went to the lawyer. The lawyer said the same thing. Then I went to my accountant. They said the same thing. So when you go to these different professionals and they're telling you, hey, no, you don't have any claim here, then you assume that that's the proper advice.
Yeah, right? You moving in for yourself as an end user, the builder would take that rebate, you wouldn't have to pay anything. But if you were buying it to rent out, mm-hmm. in that case scenario, you would have to pay the HST. The builder would have nothing to do with it. And then you'd get that rebate back afterwards. It takes about 30 to 60 days, but it all comes back to you. It's funny how the government makes you pay them your money and then ask for your money back instead of them just giving you your money. But anyways.
They do that on trottages, manufactured homes, I should say. They do that also. They'll make you pay it through one of these resorts, and then you have to go back and apply for it back from the government. It's an interesting situation.
Yeah, it is. So. It's interesting for sure.
So you talked about another scenario with another client with flipping to yourself.
Yeah. This is an old strategy that we used to, I shouldn't call it old, but it still works. The example I'll give you is from a couple of years ago from a client of ours. But basically the concept here is when people flip a house to sell it, they're buying a house that they renovate and put money in, sweat equity, however you want to say it, and then they sell it for a profit. Mm-hmm. That gap in between is what they put in. That's what they're going to make, right? So that's what they're doing this for.
Yep.
But then they have to pay capital gains on their investment when they're selling
it.
They have to pay realtor fees and all these other costs to sell that property. Mm-hmm. Where if you keep it as a rental, so you buy a property that's in a dilapidated shape, you put some money into it, you'd be putting less into it to keep it as a rental than you would be for a flip. Because really, when you're looking for a rental property, you just want it to be new, clean, and nice. It doesn't need to be high-end everything. So you're just renovating it to be nice and clean and crisp. So you're putting some money in, which will now allow you to charge a little bit higher of a rent, but it will also improve the property value. So, for example, if you were to buy a $400,000 house, you would need $80,000 down, which would be your 20%. Mm-hmm. That would leave you with a mortgage of $320,000. Let's say we added $40,000 in reno, you know, lipstick type stuff just to spruce it up. Roughly now our total investment is about $120,000, right? The $80,000 of our initial down payment,
right,
and then our $40,000 that we spent on the reno. Now our property is no longer worth $400,000. It's probably worth somewhere around 460, 480, somewhere in that range, right? Just to be rough about it. We'll use 480 just for the simple math here. So now we have a loan to value of 80%, right? That's how much the bank will allow you to get to, or any lender, any primary lender. You can go to B lending and go all the way up.
Private, but, everything.
Exactly. But in a traditional A mortgage, you're looking at an 80 to 20% loan to value. So of $480,000, your loan to value would be 384. And now your borrowed was 320. That's a difference of $64,000 in forced appreciation. That's what you put into it. Now, if you, that $40,000 is the reno, so you really have $24,000 profit, right? Now, by refinancing and take that $24,000 out, that $24,000 can be apportioned towards your next purchase or anything like that as well. So it's getting your money to work faster for you and doing a little bit more and pulling it back out and using the leverage, right? And get all your money, because again, the borrowed money is a tax write-off. So you're better to be leveraged as much as you can and having your tenant pay it down.
Well, there's, I always do speeches and talks on good debt versus bad debt. Right? Good debt is things that you can utilize to write off or create an asset. And bad debt is things that you're like, wow, this credit card bill is with, and I have no idea what I spent it on. Right?
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like those Raptor tickets last night.
Yeah. Monday, are you going? No.
No.
I'll be watching.
I was, even last night, I was at the concert in Hamilton at the Open, the RBC Open. And they were Americans, so they weren't even talking about the Raptors game. We're standing in a group of thousands of people and no one has a cell signal, so nobody knew the score, and we're all like, do you know, and everyone's like, what's the score, and people started chanting, what's the score. So it was funny.
The city is on fire right now. Everyone's having a real good time with this Raptors run, and I think they could win it all here, so.
I have no comment. I'm a finance girl, not a sports girl. So we talked about that. So that's a great scenario where, you know, you've put some money in, you're not using all of your savings towards the down payment, you're using some of the savings towards the upgrades, and then you take the new value, you leverage back out through the institution that you've used, and now you buy another property, right? In the interim, you've had someone move in, sign a lease, and now you've got your cash flow coming in from that property.
Yep.
So that was a great great case study, a great scenario. The next one that we spoke about was the commercial opportunity, right?
Yeah. So for an example, there was a group of investors that pooled money together to purchase a retail plaza for income.
Yeah.
And in that instance, $160,000 each invested paid them $900 a month.
Each.
Yeah, each, right? Yep. Great return. It's all income. There's no debt there or leverage. That's a mortgage-free investment. They all leveraged one another. So they're also keeping the money they'd be paying to the bank divided up to themselves as well. So they're making a better return than what they would be if they didn't leverage one another.
Oh, that's wonderful. So they just pooled that money together to buy this property.
Yeah, plaza. Yeah, there's all investors have their own wants, desires, what they feel comfortable with and what they want to do. One thing that we pride ourselves at Cressy is really getting to know our investors, who they are and what they're looking for. You know, someone that says to me, hey, Kevin, I just want to have one extra residential rental property so that when I'm ready to retire, I can get out of my house and move in to this condo or something to downsize, but have it make money for me over time. That's great. If you tell me you want to flip houses, I'll tell you you're crazy, but great. And let's help you do it the best way possible. There's lots of ways to make money in real estate, I guess is what I'm saying. But I'll give you an example of a young gentleman that we started working with when he was 26 years old. He bought his first pre-construction condo at that time. From the first one, through the appreciation, he then sold that and then bought two more in the next project. From that, closed on one and started to really cycle that money. Going from one to the next over the time, here we are 7 years later, he now has three residential properties, and he has a commercial condominium now as well. So similar to buying a residential condo, he has a commercial condo. So it's in a building, you pay maintenance fees, so that everything is managed for you.
Mm-hmm.
But he also now has a commercial tenant. And you would wonder what the difference is back again to being residential or commercial. They're both in a condo building. What can it be? As a residential landlord, taxes, maintenance, and insurance, we all pay.
Mm-hmm.
In a commercial environment, the tenant pays the taxes, the maintenance, and the insurance.
Interesting.
Yeah, right? So it's just more to your bottom line as the investor. The expenses are all pretty much a flow through of your tenant. Rather than getting called to fix the dishwasher or something like that, they have to do everything themselves and they pay for it.
Wow, that sounds wonderful.
Yeah, right?
So, and it's a great, you know, it's funny, I've helped clients over the years with real estate, like where would I get the money for this? Because diversification is important, right? Whether it be through whatever type of investment it is. I believe that diversification is multiple pockets, right, of income flowing in. And I know people who are, you know, in their late 40s, early 50s, and they're retired. They have multiple properties, multi-residential units, you know, maybe a couple commercial, and they started simple with one property and they utilized the strategies, right? And it's fear that keeps us from doing these things. Right? It's the fear stops us from doing everything in life,
yes,
but specifically creating wealth, because there's lots of strategies out there that will allow people to create wealth. It's just getting over that fear.
Yeah. The fear of the unknown, the fear of getting started.
Yeah. And do your homework. Trust the person you're dealing with. If you're going to hand over a bunch of money to someone to do this, you need to know that you trust the person that you're talking to. Someone who's been in the business a long time, you know, someone who has done this before. This is not, you're not their first client, and I'm putting that in quotation marks, you know, to do this, and they're green. You need to have a team of professionals. So you need to have your experienced realtor, your financial person, you know, your potentially your lender, right? Whether that be any kind of mortgage agent or financial institution that's got your back, that understands your situation and knows that, you know, so you can have all these different scenarios laid out before you so you can prepare for the worst. Right? You've been in the business how long now?
I got my real estate license back at the beginning of 2012, so over 7 years now.
And you've done quite a bit of this type of, this was your, when I first met you, that's what you said. I am a realtor who specializes in investment properties.
Yeah, I learned very quickly that I enjoyed the conversation more about how can I help you make some more money with your money rather than, hey, do you want to move? Hey, do you need to move? Hey, do you need somebody, you know somebody that needs to move? The conversation of how we can all better our futures, make our lives better for ourselves and for our families, again, is a conversation we all want to have and we're all interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it that much more than the stress of, hey, do you need to move? Because after your first home purchase, the rest are stressful. The first one's fun and exciting because you're buying your first house and you're getting out there. But after that, you're looking at relocation, upsizing or downsizing or divorce or
anything. Kids don't want to switch schools.
Yeah, right? You moving in high school for a kid would, I was lucky I never had to do that, but I know people that did, and that would be devastating. I'm working with clients right now that they're stuck to the school district.
Yeah.
If they didn't need or want to be in the same school district, there's lots of houses that they would love outside of that school district. So, yeah, it's something that matters for sure.
Oh, it definitely does. And the wonderful thing is, too, is that it allows people just the flexibility. A lot of people don't want to work more hours. They don't want to get a second job. But they have this equity in their current home, or they have money sitting in the bank not doing anything. Right? So there is opportunity there to leverage and get some appreciation and have it work for you. We need to take a quick break, though, Kevin. Stay tuned, though. My name is Renee Ribello, and you are listening to Savvy Saturdays on News Talk 610 CKTB.
You're listening to Savvy Saturdays on News Talk 610 CKTB. Brought to you by Life Coach Financial Strategies. Here's your host, Renee Ribello.
Welcome back, everyone. If you're just tuning in, we've been chatting with Kevin Brittner of Cressy Real Estate about real estate investing. If you missed any part of the show, you can always catch it online later on the 610's website under Savvy Saturdays or on the Savvy Saturday podcast channel. You can also text in your questions to 61010, or you can actually even call in now to 905 905- 688-CKTB, and we'll get you on air. Maybe you've had an experience where it's made you some money and had a positive experience with it and love to share with the listeners. So feel free to call in. We are taking calls now. So one of the segments I did want to talk about is tax, the taxation of this type of investment. And we did touch on it a little bit earlier in the show about how when you borrow the money, and you talked about using 80% loan to value, so financing the purchase up to 80% of the value with someone else's money, right? So you put down the 20% from your own, wherever you take that money from, and your financial person can help you figure that out. And then you find a property and you've leveraged at 80%. Well, now you've got this property and you've got a cash flow coming in and you've got potentially a mortgage payment, which ideally you should have.
Yes.
Right? Because that mortgage payment is now also potentially a tax write-off. So what happens is the government allows you the interest, not the principal payment, so the interest part of the portion of the payment as a tax write-off, because that is a cost to an investment. So as much as you have to claim the rental income as income, you can also offset it with the costs of maintaining that property. So whatever things like the property taxes, you know, your the interest on the borrowed money to purchase. So there's never incentive to pay it down. So what I normally do with clients when they're looking at doing a rental situation, they'll say, well, Renee, you know, the cost of the property is only $900. I'm collecting $2,000 a month. Right? And I'll be like, well, take the extra $1,100 and let's apply it to your primary residence, because your primary residence is not a tax write-off. So it allows people the ability to strategize where their cash flow goes and allows them to write it off. Now, when you do this, you're going to see your accountant to do it, obviously. You're going to speak with your financial planner, someone like me who's licensed as a CFP, and you're going to talk to your accountant to just make sure that you're writing it off in the proper places, that you've filled out the proper paperwork, you know, because Revenue Canada likes things proper. And if you don't do it proper, they're saying ignorance is not an excuse. They're kind of like the court of law, right?
Yeah, it's back to the team that you were saying earlier. A tax accountant or accountant is very important, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the planner to figure out where it's all flowing from and how much it's where to put the money. So the accountant can help you with where the government needs you to put the money, and the financial strategist or planner can help you figure out where it's coming from and where it should flow to. That's most advantageous for you to accomplish your future goals, right? So that's kind of neat. So, you know, some of you listening may be wondering, well, who is Renee Ribello anyways, right? So I'm an actual financial planner, certified financial planner, with my own practice called Life Coach Financial Strategies. And I do deal with a back office called World Source Financial. I've been located downtown Grimsby for the last 11 years. And recently I did my own real estate investment. I purchased my own office.
I love it.
Yep. So, and he saw it this morning. It's lovely, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's great. And the best part is you're going to rent out other space to other people to increase your income on your own property. So
well,
that's great.
It'll not cost me anything eventually. In the perfect world, I'll like the renters that rent out the office space, and we will be able to pay for the mortgage on its own. It's a great thing. So it's wonderful. I have a large property downtown Grimsby. It's 2,800 square feet. I have some offices for rent. I have some conference space, and I'm very excited about that. So there's another real estate investment. And so after 26 years in the business, wow, a long time, right? So, but 11 years on my own, I've decided it's time to put some money back into me. And, you know, start planning for my retirement, my future, my kids' future. And real estate was a great diverse investment to do that.
So, it's only going to benefit you down the road for sure.
Well, you always have to practice what you preach, right? Yeah. So it has been 26 years of me doing financial planning. And so that means, you know, investment planning, retirement planning, you know, estate planning, insurance. You know, a lot of people forget that I do life insurance and do analyzations of that and making sure you don't have too much insurance or you have enough. Or, you know, mortgage insurance is one of the things that I absolutely detest. And I was even talking to our producer about it earlier, saying, take it for now, but then come talk to me. Because I can get you something that's half the price and it'll guarantee to pay out if death occurs.
And it doesn't decline.
No. And you know what? Even this week, I had a very, very close friend of mine. She lost one of her other friends and he was, you know, in his, I'd say, early 40s, you know, second marriage. So I had kids from a first marriage, second marriage with kids. And, you know, she's like, I hope he has life insurance. I'm like, I hope he does too. Because a lot of people in their 40s don't think they need it. And it's really inexpensive. So it's definitely something to look at and something that a financial planner can do for you and ensure that you have the right coverage. So cash flow, taxation, investments, insurance, when to retire, you know, whether you should buy an investment property. These are all things that a certified financial planner will work with you to do. And make sure that that money transfers to the next generation tax efficiently, right?
Yes.
So, and I have appeared on as a financial expert on other radio stations and on CH Morning Live. So I'm pretty excited about that stuff. I also have a not-for-profit group called Savvy Livin' for Women. And I hold monthly events out in Grimsby for these women. And recently, we are planning a trip to Portugal. And I'm sorry, Kevin, you can't come. It is a women's only trip. We are going to Portugal to taste the most wonderful food, see the sights, shop, and of course, taste the wines with the chocolate. They are known for their port wine. And we're going in October, which is the absolute best time to visit Portugal as the sun's shining. It's not too hot. It's not overpowering with the heat. But it is a very busy time. So we don't have much time to book the spots. So I've mentioned it in the past, but we only have a short window for reservation. We only have 22 spots available. If you're interested in any information, please text in or call in and I can get that to you off air. We have 22 spots. We're leaving October 20th. We're flying into Porto. It's $27.95, all taxes and flight in. Incredible, eh?
Yeah.
And we already have 12 of those 22 taken.
Amazing.
So it's going to go fast. So you would definitely want to get in contact with me if you're interested in attending. And if you don't have a roomie, we can find you one. So it'll be great. It's going to be a fun trip. All the trips we've done with Savvy have been a blast. So, Kevin, before we wrap up at the end of the show, I'd like to, you know, do you have any final takeaways for our listeners? Or how can people contact you after the show?
Well, yeah, I guess to get in touch with us at Cressy, the easiest and best way is our website, www.cresi.ca. So that's Core Real Estate Services, Inc., all abbreviated to Cressy. So it's cressy.ca. That's our website to check us out. You can email us at realestate@cressy.ca, simply realestate@cressy.ca. And if you want to stay in touch with us, sign up for our newsletter or be involved. One of the things that we're working on right now is getting all of our educational courses online so that people can sit back in the comfort of their own home and learn a little bit about what we have to share and expert interviews and all that kind of stuff. So if real estate investing is something that interests you or that you are an investor right now, or you know, you just want to learn a little bit more for the future, send us an email at realestate@cresi.ca. So realestate@cresi.ca, saying that you want to sign up for our newsletter and we'll stay in touch with you for sure.
Right. I think that online courses is actually really cool, and videos, people can listen to them in their car too, right?
Yeah. Eventually that is definitely the goal. We'll have it all as podcasts, each video, so you can listen to it, you could read it, or you could watch it as a video. Once we're all done, it's in the process now. We used to do them all live, but figured it's better to get it out there one to many rather than making people come in to see us.
Well, it's educational, right? Anything educational is definitely an asset, because when someone is looking to make an investment purchase like this, you know, it's a large amount of money, it's a large investment, and you don't want to do it lightly. You want to make sure that you have your team in place, you want to make sure you're educating yourself, and that you feel comfortable with what you're doing, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. You don't have to know every single little bit about everything, but you need to understand what you're doing. So we educate so that people have a bigger comfort level about what they're getting into, especially if it's their first time or the first time in a new asset class.
Yeah, for sure. And real estate is definitely something that a lot of people always ask me about. They're always like, oh, what, do you think I should buy something? I'm like, well, it depends.
I always say the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago, and the next best time is today. The same thing goes for purchasing real estate. Don't think about timing the market. Investors buy at all times.
That's right.
Just make sure you're buying a good property. That's the key. And then a good tenant. That's,
yes.
You know, in the residential world, even the commercial world, your tenant is more valuable than your actual building.
Well, something that was new to me recently because I'm in the process of closing on a condo that's waterfront. And what was interesting to me is that you can use a realtor to find a tenant now.
Yes.
So you can actually say, hey, Mr. Kevin there, I would like to find a tenant for my place. And the realtor will find you the tenant. They'll put it on the listing and do all the background checks, make sure the credit checks are done. So you don't have to try to do it yourself, especially if you're very new to this whole rental tenant thing.
Yes.
Right?
Be patient choosing your first tenant or any tenant. I always say it's better to pay 1 month of vacancy at the beginning than 6 months at the end trying to get that person out. A tenant interview is like a job interview. So just know that you need to ask all the right questions and make sure that you're happy with the person that's going to live and take care of your asset.
Right. And normally the commission paid to a realtor, if they're doing this for you, is 1 month's rent. Is that correct?
In that instance, yeah.
So it's totally worth it.
Yeah, right. As long as, again, you have someone that's working in your best interest, making sure they're doing the due diligence to speak and know of the tenant that they're getting you involved with, right? Because you're taking their reference.
Right. And even tenants that are out there looking for a place, they want a good landlord, right? Because there's bad landlords.
100% right? Agreed, yeah.
So, you know, they can use a realtor to help them find a property also, because then they can, they will be like, oh, I've had interaction with the landlord and they're actually okay, you know, and the true information on what they're really like or what they're really looking for comes through. And there's no surprises later, even with a lease.
Yes.
Right?
Nope,
so
for
that's
sure.
That's a great thing. Can you believe that our time is up?
No, that flew by. It was a really good time chatting with you this morning, Renee. Thanks for having me in. I appreciate it.
It was very good. So I always suggest consult your financial professional or any professional before you make any financial decisions. A certified financial planner will always take the time to understand your needs and create a financial strategy that's tailored to your specific goals. As always, I'm located in Grimsby and I'm happy to help anybody with any questions that they've had. I know I've had a bunch of phone calls off air from people who've listened, so thank you for that. Just asking for some more information that they had heard on air, so that's wonderful. And if there's a topic you'd like to hear about, please reach out and let me know. I'm happy to bring them, because I don't know what everybody would love to hear. So I'm just trying to figure out what's based on I hear from other people, right? So we do want to mention also that we are having our monthly Savvy Coffee Chats, which is a networking event for women business owners. We had our last one last Friday, 9 to 11 at my office on Elm Street in Grimsby, and it was a success. We had 21 women there, so we are inviting you out to the next one on July 5th in Grimsby, again at my location, 15 Elm Street. No cost to attend, but you do need to RSVP, because we're not just having the whole town of Grimsby show up, or St. Catharines, or whatever town is listening right now, right? So I'd like to say thank you to Kevin from Cressy Real Estate for sharing your expert knowledge today on how to invest in real estate. And I'd like to say thank you to Alicia Vivera, my producer, for a great job in letting us in the building today, since we didn't know how to get in today. The phone wasn't working.
No problem.
Thank you. And to the listeners for listening today. Our next Savvy Saturday is airing right here on June 22nd on 610 CKTV. Have an amazing rest of your Saturday. It's beautiful and sunny out there. And we'll see you all next time.
On News Talk 610 CKTV. Brought to you by Life Coach Financial Strategies.